Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Loud and Lifted. I'm your host, Betsy Hamm. Today, we're diving into one of my absolute favorite professional development tools, PIE, Performance, Image, and Exposure. I'm joined by Linda Strange, my former business coach and a leadership guru, to unpack why mastering your PIE isn't optional, it's essential. We'll talk about what each element means, why so many people get stuck focusing on just one, performance, and how you can recalibrate if your PIE is off track. This isn't just about climbing the ladder. It's about owning how you show up, how you're perceived, and how you're positioned for the opportunities you deserve. Welcome to Loud and Lifted, Linda. I'm so happy to have you here.
So great to see you, Betsy, and I'm so excited to be here as well.
So before we get into the topic, which is one of my favorite topics, PIE, and anybody who's listened knows I mention it like every other episode, let's talk a little bit about you, how we even know each other and how we even became connected.
It's crazy when we think about it, right? Because we were just saying it's been 20 years since you and I met. And a bit about me that you know is that, you know, I spent 20 years with the Hershey Company. So that was kind of my corporate career. I was in sales and marketing. I morphed into like a sales trainer. And then I was like, wow, I really love this work. I love working with the workforce and emerging leaders and helping them, you know, kind of get started in their careers and doing training and facilitation. And so I kind of took that then to the next level and got into an organizational development role. Never went back to sales, although I always say, you know, kind of selling still organizational sales. Development initiatives is selling as well. But I just love that work. And so after 20 years with the Hershey Company, I went out on my own, started my own business called People Tracks, which is when I started to do some work with Hershey Entertainment and you and I were connected. Yes. And the focus of People Tracks has been kind of the same, like everything that I learned in those roles at Hershey, coaching emerging leaders, you know, leadership development, training and facilitation, and really just my passion is really helping emerging leaders like maximize their potential and kind of set themselves on the career journey or the career path that they want.
Well, I can say you helped me do that. That started 20 years ago, and I had the opportunity to work with you for several years in a coaching capacity. And a lot of those things that you taught me 20 years ago, I still use and refer back to. We'll maybe save the whole circle of influence, circle of control for another day. But today we're going to dig into PIE, which was an idea that you had shared with actually the Women in Leadership group years ago. And out of all the things that I have learned through my career, the one that has stuck with me, the one that I have taught pretty much any woman on my team, I actually try to enforce this with my teenage daughters because I think it's relevant to anyone, not just a professional setting, but schools, sports, take your pick. So it's been mentioned on a couple previous episodes, but we have to have the expert here, the one who introduced this to me, to really talk us through, like, what is it? What is PIE? What and why should we care about it?
I love that. And I love that you're talking PIE with your teenage daughters, which I've done as well with my kids, because the earlier you, like, I always wish that I had learned this earlier in my career. I even, you know, have done this kind of work with interns and that kind of thing, because, you know, you get this idea and this concept early on, it can really help you. So the PIE model is, I like to call it a career enrichment or a career effectiveness model. And it's, like you said, it's super easy to embrace. And that's what people like about it the most, because it's something they can remember. And it reflects the interplay of three important components on your career. So P for performance, I for image, and E for exposure. So, you know, performance is, easy to wrap your hands around, right? It's what you're praised on, what you're what's expected of you, the role that you have, the things that you do every day, your responsibilities. I, a little bit more difficult to wrap your arms around, right? So it has to do, it's for image, and it has to do with your reputation and the words that people use to describe you, which usually scares people half to death when they think about that. But it's your personal brand, right? And what I say about pie is you have to really be aware of what your image is, because if you don't craft your eye, it will be crafted for you. So we'll talk more about that, but it's an interesting thing to think about. And then E is exposure. It's, you know, who's mentoring you, your advocates, your network, the things you do outside of work where you're making important connections. And really, if you think about E, it's the showcase for the other two, because when you have those opportunities to get in front of people, you have advocates that you're in meetings with. What are you how are you showcasing your P, and how are you building or crafting your I when you have that stage? So that's what the E stands for. And I know that you know this really well.
No, it's always good to have a refresh, because I talk about it a lot. So I should make sure I'm saying the right thing.
The right things. Yeah. So, you know, just, I think sometimes it's important to share some personal stories about this. Absolutely. So I'll share one of mine, and then I'd like to you to share one of yours. I think it could be helpful for the group. So, you know, there's a reason why this is really important early on in your career. And I never really had this concept. And I'll share a story that was really a turning point in my career. And it really had to do with getting some coaching on PI, and specifically I. One of the difficult things about I is that not only is it difficult for us to wrap our arms around, but it's usually difficult for managers to coach on it. It's not a natural thing. You know, some managers are just really intuitively good at giving I type of feedback, but most aren't. And so for I, which is super important and could be something that's derailing your career, you don't even know about it, it's important for us to, you know, be aware, get the feedback we need if it's not being given to us. So the story I have to tell is years ago when I was at Hershey, and I was the new director of sales staffing training and development. And I was kind of a leading edge type of innovative thinker when it came to OD types of initiatives, and a little bit more of a risk taker than most HR people would be, because I came from a sales and marketing background. But I was in the process of creating this kind of leading edge DE&I initiative, which was kind of new to the organization at the time. So years and years ago. And I went, my supervisor, who was the VP of sales and also the chief customer officer, he and I went to present this initiative and get approval from HR group to move forward with this. So I had what I thought was an unbelievable presentation and presented it with all the facts and, you know, just the excitement that I had about moving this forward in the organization. And it was met with a lot of pushback, because it was kind of leading edge and maybe a little risk-taking. And so it wasn't like they put the kibosh on it, but they started asking me a lot of questions. And my response to those questions were maybe what they not should not have been. Not that I was disrespectful, but I think I got defensive.
Sure.
Likely I had some facial expressions and body language, which were like, how can you be questioning this? And, you know, just kind of that, almost like a leadership, what I look at now is probably like a leadership immaturity, like, this is so awesome. How come we're not all jumping on board with this? So anyway, when my boss and I, my supervisor and I left and went back to, you know, our offices, he said, let me talk to you. You got a minute? I'm like, yeah. He goes, and it was so awesome the way he put this, but you talk about coaching on I, he said to me, I love your passion, and everyone in our organization loves your passion. But I fear that when you show up in those situations, you get reactionary and impatient. You wear your heart on your sleeve because this is really important to you. And I know that about you, but they don't know you as well. And I would hate for them to think that you are an emotional, reactionary, impatient type of leader. He said, I want you to focus on a word, and that's poise. I don't want you to lose your passion,
right?
But I want you to share your passion with poise and understand that when people are asking questions, they want the product to be better. It's not that they are challenging you. They just want the product to be better. And that fact finding is important for this initiative to fly. So we're going to have another chance to do this, and we're going to work on how we show up in that way. And we'll get this thing moving forward. But, you know, I don't want your reputation to suffer.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing coach.
So, okay, this is like however many years ago, 20 and some years ago. But I remember it as a turning point. And I always think because you know me, I'm an excitable person. Sure. I'm passionate.
Yep.
And some of those things are my strength. But I try very hard to keep that poise word in mind. And that comes from that little image or eye coaching.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Session that I had.
That is so awesome. Pretty amazing. I can totally relate to that. I can't say I ever got feedback that nice, but having the passion and the enthusiasm, I can be defensive. And, you know, I was aware of the image piece, and I think we get stuck on like, well, what are we wearing and how do we look? And that's part of it, right? That's part of the image. But it's so much about how you talk to people and the facial expressions you make and your body language. And, you know, I can think back times even recently where maybe I'm making that, you know, WTF face or whatever it is, you know, like where you're, and you have to, it's poise is such a great word that you kind of have to maintain composure and control and still get your point across. But once you become defensive or combative or just snarky, like everybody else like doesn't listen to you anymore. So it's being able to have that control to be able to respond in a way that's productive versus people being like, oh, she's annoying. She's emotional.
Exactly. And, you know, I found it in that particular situation, a great thing to do is just open up some questions. Like when you feel yourself getting, because you and I have also talked about triggers and like,
oh, yeah, that's that a trigger for me too.
Kind of trigger thing where like somebody's questioning my brilliance,
right. You know, like I'm clearly in the right.
To be able to say, oh, well, now that's a different perspective. Like, tell me more is just a way more poised way to like move forward with trying to collaborate on things. So that's just one story, one example. Yeah. I don't know if you have a personal story to share.
Yeah.
That you might share with the group as well.
A lot of my challenges, I think, have been around that. It's been around being defensive and being coming across combative, and then people kind of shut you down. So it's been trying to focus on the poise and the control of that. And I think about through my career being so aware of this with women on my team, and especially younger team members, where, you know, whether it's on a Teams meeting, like virtual, or they're sitting in a conference room, and this is like goes back to lean in, right? Like they come in and they sit in the back of the room and they don't raise their hand or, you know, try to add any value to the meeting. And they're just, sometimes you can even see them if they, I would force them to sit at the table, sometimes outside their comfort zone. And you could see some were just so uncomfortable, like they would try to make themselves smaller. And again, it goes back to that image that like, oh, she doesn't deserve to be here. So it's been something I've just been so aware of. One, being introduced to this so young, not that I've done it perfectly, and then having a boss who is very big on pie with image and exposure and getting out there, it does really make it top of mind of like, okay, how do I do this better? And I know in the past we've talked about like those enhancers and derailers, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of look at some of those things that enhance your pie, and what are some of those things that can derail it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking about eye a lot because it is one of those things that you have to wrap your arms around a little bit more. But, you know, going back to P, I think the important thing to think about is P is table stakes, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to perform before you think about these other things. So you can be doing a great job with your image, but if you're a low performer,
right,
then
it doesn't matter.
So, you know, the table stakes is performance. It's the thing to focus on. It's the foundation, obviously. And then the I and E just kind of grow on that. And, you know, so it's the kind of thing where as your career progresses, where you've become a strong performer over time, is the time to like really think about these things. And also when you go into a new role, know, you may have been spending, you know, strong performers spending a lot of time on I and E, and then you do a good job there and you get that promotion. Now you're in a new role. You kind of have to shift back to making P your focus, right? Not to diminish the I and the E at that point, but it's really kind of pie's a journey almost through your career. We haven't talked a lot about E yet. And, you know, E is one of those things where, like I said, it's about your network. It's about your, you know, gaining sponsorship and mentorship and advocacy. Like, who are those people that are sharing stories about you and advocating for you when you're not even there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's super important as well. And, you know, I think about the fact that in this remote and hybrid world, E has become more of a challenge because kind of the myth about E in the past has been that exposure is those things that I wait for. Like, it's the annual sales meeting. It's the town hall event where, you know, all the leadership team is there. It's the cocktail hour before this affinity group meeting, like whatever the case might be, when you're going to have the opportunity to, you know, brush elbows with a lot of leadership team and stuff. And that's really important. And those things still happen. And at those types of things, it is important to not sit with your team,
right?
Do not go into the corner and just be snacking on, you know, the vegetable tray with the people you work with every day, but take the risk to go up to the CEO or the one of the VPs and say, I know we've met briefly, but we don't know each other that well. And I just wanted to say hello. I'm working on a lot of great projects right now. You know, just taking that opportunity for that little, what we call that little elevator speech when you have the opportunity, and not standing in the corner with the people, you know. So those types of things. And of course, you know, you have the opportunity to do a presentation at a leadership meeting or an executive meeting. I mean, that you are ready to really showcase that P and I when you have those opportunities. Right. So not to diminish those, because we need to totally focus on them and really be intentional. But, you know, the myth about E is it's only those things. Well, I call those things the Broadway stage. Mm. But we have opportunities for E every day. So think community theater. Because, you know, you're on a Zoom call with your team. You have the opportunity, as you said, maybe your manager's on vacation and they've asked you to sit in on the weekly team meeting with their peers, or you're, you know, in this remote world, you're in a Zoom meeting like that, or, you know, whatever the case might be. You have to take that opportunity to kind of craft your eye. So engaging, asking questions, contributing. You want to be as intentional about those small kind of community theater events as you are the big events.
Sure.
So that's kind of the myth about E. And the other thing that I would say about E is, in this remote hybrid world, it's become more of a challenge.
So much so.
And I think that, you know, what I'm finding with a lot of folks is that they're really enjoying this hybrid remote situation, which is great, right? Who wouldn't? But the less time that you're in the office and the less exposure you get, the more intentional you have to be to make sure people know who you are, what you're producing, what you're doing from a networking standpoint on the side. And so when you have those opportunities, take them. You know, if you have the opportunity to work one day a week in the office or two, you know, you might consider going in 2 days a week if it's an opportunity to have water cooler conversation.
Right.
And maybe Tuesdays is the weekly meeting where you have the opportunity to shine and contribute. It's just a matter of thinking through those things and to absolutely not miss when there is kind of an opportunity for exposure.
Right.
I'll tell you about a little story about a client that I was coaching. And he's very excited about working remotely and doesn't necessarily feel the need to be in the office. And it was the company, now this is a small, you know, a smaller local kind of insurance company. So it's not a big company, but they have an annual Christmas party and everybody's there and it's the opportunity for networking, that kind of thing. And he said to me, I don't think I'm going to go. I have a soccer game. And I said, I don't know that that's a great choice. This is an opportunity to like get dressed up, go to the Christmas party, say hello to all the folks that have something to do with your career. And I convinced him to do so. And he was glad that he did. But you know, that's kind of, I was kind of surprised that he was going to, you know, go that route. But I think the more people are working at home, they just kind of don't think about right. how important those opportunities are. So,
no, that's
and
so
you,
true. Maybe
you have some thoughts on that because you were, you know, yeah, you led absolutely. Organizations that started working remotely.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. You know, the first part of my career, everything was in the office all the time. So it was trying to be intentional. Of course, I love the Broadway versus like the community stage. But it's even if you're in an office, like stopping by and saying hello, like if somebody's sitting and if it's appropriate, I understand some situations stopping by at a higher level person's not appropriate. But if you see them in the hallway, see them in the lunchroom, like it's just engaging them. And you don't even sometimes have to have your elevator pitch right away. Maybe it's
That's
just
right.
Maybe it's introducing yourself. Maybe it's, yes. you know, making a comment about the weather, their kids. I don't know. Take a pick. But, you know, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated when you start just to sort of make that intro. Because I think if you start small, then you kind of build that confidence that like, oh, they didn't blow me off or act like they didn't know who I was. So you can kind yes. of build the confidence over with those small little like safe conversations.
Yes, for sure.
And I think too, now then also being on like the receiving end of that, right? Like I loved when people who maybe I didn't work with a ton, even though it was a smaller company, would stop in my office. And it could just mm-hmm. be a little BS, right? Just to, yes. hey, I saw that.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
The Steelers lost again, whatever, doesn't matter. Yes. But they made the intention to make a connection with me, which I appreciated. And I think even if you're not in office, sometimes it's sending an email. So sometimes I would get an email from somebody that I didn't really have a reason to interact with a lot, but they'd say, hey, thanks so much for this, or I love that we're doing that. It was just acknowledging something that was happening at the company, not complaining. That's not a good way for the exposure, but just reaching out with like positive feedback about something yes. that was happening in the company. And I appreciated that. And then that gave me a reason to engage with that person. So mm-hmm. a lot of times that's how those relationships could start, because it just started with something as simple as like, hey, I love that we're doing this, or I saw that the company did that, and just sort of opened that door, probably made them more comfortable, and then realized like, oh, this isn't scary. Like I can have conversations with her.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny that you say that, because most people will say, when I engage and try and meet new people, a lot of times it's because of the E, like I'm engaging in E, but it's because what I know about that person. I know that Betsy has teenage daughters. I right. know that she's, you know, unfortunately a Steelers fan.
right. Yeah. <it's>
like, and yeah. you know, those kinds of things, because, you know, or, you know, I'll say like in my elevator speech that I still play competitive tennis, and I did the Susan G. Komen walk for breast cancer 3 times. And, you know, when I do my little intro, when I'm, you know, kind of involved in presentation or even just like teaching a pie class that has the elevator speech exercise. And it's amazing how many people come up to me like at a break and whatever, like, oh, I play tennis too. Or, yeah. you know, I have a son that lives where your son lives in California, or, oh my gosh, I've done that walk.
Right.
And so that's kind of a lot of times sharing kind of those things that you do either outside of work or even inside of work, but maybe outside of your daily role. Sometimes that's the way to make the connection right. than to get more familiar with people. So then you can kind of expand on your eye at some point, let them know more about what sure. you do professionally and that kind of thing. But those are a lot of times kind of the entry into the relationship.
Absolutely. So, and sometimes yeah. you have to start small. And sometimes I understand people aren't all extroverted like us,
yes,
where they're not great. Comfortable starting, you know, those random conversations. So start with a conversation you're comfortable with, or a compliment, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be complicated. I think that's where people yeah. get a little hung up, or like, what are they going to do? Walk away from you? Like, what's the worst that can happen if you talk to somebody too?
Exactly. Exactly. It's about taking that risk. And, you know, you bring up a few points about when I think about my coaching clients over the years, and specifically women, the themes that I see around some mistakes that people make around specifically women, are things, a couple things I want to share. Mm. First of all, the total like over focus on P. Mm. with less focus on I and E. You know, it's very easy to get very secure in the job that we do. And we're very, it's a security blanket. Like, I do this job. I do it really well. It's my thing. I'm the go-to person. I get a lot of confidence from being really good at this job. And I might be putting 150% into this job, but my eyes are down. And the point of that is to, it's not all about, and you know, now in a remote world, it even makes it a little different. But when we were all in the office, I would see people in their offices with their doors closed and just knocking out work and tasks and to-do lists and, you know, stay in the office till hours. And that's only part of it, because when your eyes are down, you are missing opportunities, because it's never the person that's working 150% that never has any exposure or is not trying to craft their brand that gets the promotions, right?
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. It really has to be an interplay of all the three. So I say the first thing, and even in this remote world, it's even more important, is have your eyes up, looking for those opportunities for more exposure and opportunities that people know who you are and what you stand for and not just the work you do. And I see, you know, women tend to have, and I may be overgeneralizing a little bit, but the themes that I've seen with the women versus the men I coach is the women tend to have that more of that overfocus perfectionist thing on P sometimes. So are you given 150% to P where you could be given 110 and given a little time to the other stuff? Because the expectations are not everybody's given 150%. You don't need to do that. You need to think about the interplay of the three.
And it's funny too, because I always think, I just think through people I've met through my career, I feel like women struggle more with the exposure piece, because I feel like they're going to come across as being cockier, or taking the credit for something that was a team and, oh, people just know what I'm doing, and kind of keep their head down working on their performance, versus men have a natural ability, I feel like, to be able to get that exposure, to bullshit with people, whatever it is, they have that ability to get that exposure, and it feels natural. Like it doesn't, well, some guys, it might not feel natural, it might feel a little over the top, but it just seems like women struggle with that as an approach to get those exposure.
And it may be because they have, you know, men seem to create those like more casual networks.
Yep.
Of, you know, this people I golf with and maybe have beers with or, you know, whatever. And then it's easier to kind of like build their network. For women, sometimes it has to be a little bit more intentional. And we can have those networks as well with women at different levels in organizations. But again, it takes a little bit of work.
It takes work. And that goes back to the boys club versus the girls club. The boys club is because they do that, and nobody wants to be excluded from a club, but I don't think it's intentional most of the time or malicious. It's just how they operate versus women. We have a harder time creating those relationships and establishing that. So there isn't a girls club. So we should work on the girls community, right?
That sounds more inclusive. No matter if you work for a really small company or a really large one, take the initiative to kind of build a circle of women, you know, that can be supportive and that you have, you know, the opportunity to kind of vent to once in a while or go have a drink after work or get together. And a lot of us too are moms at different ages, have lives within our kids' lives and stuff. And so, you know, having that network to be able to talk about kind of the challenges of balancing kind of the work-life thing and where your kids are and, you know, in their lives. And those things have been really kind of irreplaceable in my life to have
it's
those
critical.
Circles.
And it's so funny. Every single woman on this episode or on any episode has said the same thing. Like, you need the support, you need the circle, you need multiple circles, right? There could be some professional, personal, but you need that support and you need those circles or you're not going to be successful because no one's doing it on their own.
If they're not available to them, take the initiative to create it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a formal, I mean, it'd be great if it could be like a formal kind of leadership affinity group.
Yep.
Women in leadership type of thing, but it doesn't need to be that formalized either. If you're
totally
in a small organization or working hybrid, kind of craft one on your own.
Right. Okay. So if someone's listening to this and this is the first time they've heard about PI and now they're sitting there probably thinking about their performance and exposure, like how does someone move forward? What do you suggest if someone's hearing this?
Moving forward to this. Yeah. So a couple of little techniques, I think, is to think about your I. First of all, think about your P and say, have I been performing? Do I have performance appraisals and conversations with my manager that lead me to believe that I am performing at an acceptable or exceptional or effective level? That's table stakes, right? And then if you say, yeah, that's true, then you want to think about your I and your E. a little trick or a little technique for your eye that I mentioned earlier that scares people half to death is to think about the words that people would, how people would describe you when you leave a room. Mm-hmm. Now that can be a little scary and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. And you have to be really honest with yourself, right? So imagine you're in a meeting or on a Zoom call or whatever, and think about how you showed up and go, how would people describe me? And if you don't know the answer to that question, you can do a little 360 ask some peers, ask your boss. I've asked my kids. That's really scary when your kids come back with stuff.
I'm not doing that.
I realize that my sons are way less judgmental than my daughter is. That's on me. Surprising. Their words were really scary. But one of them was stalwart, which the other kids were like, we don't even know what that means.
No.
It means like hardworking and generous combination. Oh, I'm like, okay. Kind of like, that was my son-in-law, right? Like, so he's going to be nice to me.
That's the nicest one, of course.
But so that's a really important exercise. And then there's kind of a part two to that exercise, right? So once you, maybe you kind of write down what you think, and then maybe you ask people to give you some feedback, your peers, your boss, your direct reports, whatever the case might be. You compare them and you say, okay, here's some matches, but here's some gaps. Like, I didn't know that I was seen like this. And then you start to think about, what words do I want to add to my list that aren't there right now? And with the idea of, what's my aspiration? Mm. Is my aspiration to become more masterful in the role that I'm in? Or is my aspiration to grow in the organization, make lateral moves? Like, what is your aspiration? And then you have to think about, like, what are the words, if I'm looking to grow in the organization and I've been in an individual contributor role for a while, or I'm looking to get to the next level of leadership, I want to really look at my words and say, are those the words that are going to get me there? Hmm. You know, I had a client once who was, did the words and asked about them and did it and came back and was like really excited. And this was somebody who wanted to grow in the organization. And her words were things like friendly, fun, cooperative, accommodating, and, you know, personable. Hmm. And she was really excited about that. And I'm like, those are great words and you should be very proud of them. But does somebody want to promote you into a leadership role with those words? What are the words that we need to add?
Right.
And what's the role that you want? Is it a marketing role? Do you need to be more strategic? Do you need to be more innovative? Do you need to be more leading edge? Do you need to be more creative or collaborative? Like, those are great words, but they're probably great words that are going to keep you in the job that you're in. Supporting others, being personable, being fun. Like, it's great to be fun. You can still be fun and be innovative.
Right.
What do we want to add? And then when you think about the words that you want to add, then it becomes really kind of an intentional thing to say, if I'm going to get this exposure opportunity on this Zoom call, and there's going to be people on that Zoom call that are higher level than me that are looking at me as a possible replacement for somebody on their team when things get shifted around, how am I going to show up strategic? I may not have the opportunity to contribute much, but when I contribute, it's going to be an innovative statement or a strategic statement. Mm. What does that look like, right? So then you become really intentional. And that's what this whole idea of crafting your brand before it's crafted for you.
I love that. Craft your brand before it's crafted for you. Mm-hmm. That's so true. And it's being intentional. And again, it goes back to everybody's going a million miles a minute. We're trying to get things off of our list. And sometimes you have to take a step back and be intentional of like, where am I not showing up when I should be or how I should be, and really evaluating that. And I think it's so important. And I've done that through my career. I asked people who I respected and trusted and know would give me an honest answers. Tell me how you describe me. Like, ask people. That's the best way, because hopefully it's aligned with what you're thinking, but there might be a word or two that you're like, ooh, didn't know I came across that way. Or you might be thrilled that you come across a certain way.
Exactly. And so it's a matter of thinking about it with, like we said, within the context of your aspirations or, you know, what you want to do next in the company or that kind of thing. The other thing is to, I think about those opportunities when you're going to have exposure. And I think you started to mention this a little earlier. Another mistake that I see women make is shying away from those opportunities, not sitting at the table, not contributing. Like, for example, if you have the opportunity to go to a meeting you're not normally invited to because you're filling in, like, you go, you sit at the table, and you're not just taking notes.
Right.
You have like thought ahead about what the agenda is and what you're going to contribute, right? The other thing that I think when you talk about mistakes that are made and things to think about moving forward with your eye, a couple of things that I'd like to bring up for women, because I see it all the time and it's, I want to, and I know you've seen it as well. You have a woman who now has this emerging leader, has this opportunity for exposures in front of a group of leaders, and starts the presentation by saying, I don't want to take much of your time today. And I'll apologize if this isn't exactly what you're thinking it was going to be. It's that, and it happens more often than you think. I'm not going to take much of your time. Like almost like this apologetic kind of thing before you even start. Because I think women sometimes when they're in showcasing and having that opportunity feel like, if I kind of throw this kind of validator in at the beginning, they won't expect much or something like that, you know? Yeah. And so I can't disappoint them. Instead, you want to walk in like as a confident person, like, I'm here today to share this data. I've done a lot of research. I've explored options. This is the way that I think we should go, but I'm looking to have some really robust discussion today so we can collaborate as a team. Super different. And I see that more than you think. So I wanted to bring those up too.
That's so true. I've had people on the team who say, I'm sorry a lot. Like they almost start a sentence. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to ask. No, you're not freaking sorry. Stop. Stop. I mean, there was one that I would like call. I wanted to like have a shot caller like every time she said it.
I know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a bad habit.
So, you'd also ask me like what people should do with this moving forward. So I think that word exercise is a really good one. I think that maybe really giving some thought to the opportunities that are upcoming and not just the Broadway stage, but the community events, community stage, thinking about that. And then also thinking about the fact that when you have that E, how will you craft your brand? So those little E opportunities, if there's three words on your list that you don't think are there and you want to add them, how will I show up in those ways? So that's a great way to think about it as well. The other thing, some people will ask me like, and I'm coaching some people right now, like my eye has left the station. It's already been crafted for me. And I'm now learning this. Like, is there a way I can fix my brand since it's left the station?
Right. Of course. Correct.
And I will tell you that I'm working with a coaching client right now who has just done that. He's brilliant. He's strategic. He has all of the like leadership competencies kind of down. But he talks over people. He doesn't listen. He is my way or the highway. Like these are now his words that I'm using to describe him, right? And he really wants to grow. And he definitely has the, you know, the competencies to contribute a great deal to the organization. But so really thinking about what we're working on right now is how kind of the same thing when every time I have the opportunity, and not just in a meeting or where there's a bunch of people around, but in every one-on-one opportunity I have to even meet with my internal constituents, my teammates, my peers, what techniques I'm going to use to slow myself down, to take a breath, to listen, and not have it be ingenuine. Like it has to be authentic.
Yep.
And even a vulnerability part of that. So if you're trying to fix your eye, vulnerability is a huge thing to build trust. And I will say that women have an edge there. Sure. I think we can become more vulnerable than men sometimes. But, you know, so if you think your eyes left the station, you know, to go to a group of people or in a one-on-one and say, you know, I was just exposed to this awesome concept. And I believe that I've done some damage to our relationship because I am pretty passionate. I move fast. I'm always action oriented, but those things may come off as me only wanting to do this one way, not really listening, not wanting to collaborate. And I want to change that.
Yeah.
So I hope that you'll take my vulnerability here as a way. This was difficult for me to come to you with, but I would like to start to rebuild this relationship and repair any damage that's been done. Because I really do respect your insights and I want us to collaborate better. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give me feedback and call me out when I get off track? Because I'm really committed to this. And I think that that's a way that you can do that. And I've seen people do it.
That makes sense. Acknowledging it and then trying to take steps to stop doing whatever that behavior is. I mean, it won't be overnight, but over time, people will realize that you've changed, and that's really important. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is awesome. Linda, thank you so much for being here and finally explaining PIE, since I love to mention it so often. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
They can find me at lmstrange@comcast.net. I'm also on LinkedIn, Linda Strange. So perfect. Feel free to reach out, ask questions, share your PIE stories with me. Love to connect with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thanks, Bets.
This conversation with Linda was filled with advice I was fortunate to learn early in my career. Wisdom I've carried forward and have shared with countless women through the years. Remember, your career isn't only about the work you deliver. It's about how you're seen and whether the right people know the impact you're making. Performance gets you in the door, but image and exposure keep you in the room where decisions are made. Be intentional. If this episode resonated, share it with a friend, mentor, or colleague who needs a reminder to focus on their PIE. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram for more practical leadership tools. Until next time, stay loud, stay lifted, and show up with a powerful image.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.